disinformation about everything you could imagine. Stories of people, what they might have done. Stories of lines to buy ammo for guns. Wasn't Big Brother a bad enough situation for us to have to add to the equation? Algorithm skewing everything you take in, personalized to everywhere you have been, creating a world where we each can be, living in our own reality.
Welcome back to Guerrilla Radio. Well, yesterday, as Canada observed its fourth National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, meant to recognize past and current injustices committed against Indigenous populations by colonial Canada, Prime Minister Mark Carney welcomed Donald Trump's, quote, historic new Middle East peace plan. But just as Canada's recognition and reconciliation is offered in a strictly proscribed form, so too Trump's 20-point peace plan neither addresses the myriad crimes done to Indigenous populations in Palestine, nor does it provide a just remedy for them. Hannah Kawas is chairperson of the Vancouver-based Canada-Palestine Association. He's too a longtime radio journalist whose program Voice of Palestine was a beacon for the diaspora community. The CPA published its response to the lauded recognition of a theoretical Palestinian state, calling it phony and saying, quote, for months we have been warning of the dangers of this insipid plan that aims to distract and deflect from the ongoing genocide. Welcome back to the program, Hannah.
Thank you for inviting me again.
Well, it's always my pleasure, of course. Now, Hannah, your CPA article, Yes, We Are Bitter, condemns the lately found moral rectitude of countries and individuals who've watched silently the accelerated genocide unfold for these past 2 years. Hannah, what's your reaction, firstly, to Mark Carney's welcoming of Trump's so-called historic new Middle East peace plan?
Yeah, I think, way back in the 70s and 80s, some labor leader here in Canada stated that when the U.S. say jump, Canada says how high. So, you know, that fits with the Canada's tailing to U.S. Foreign policies. So I think, you know, it's really, you know, Canada has a long history of really serving the not just the imperialist interests, but also the Zionist project in Palestine. And, you know, I mean, our website is full of statements about Canada's involvement. If you want, I could put thing in the share thing. Share is not turned on, but if you open the share, I could put a few links as background for Canada's involvement in our dispossession and in supporting the Zionist settler colonialist project in Palestine.
Yeah, we can put links in the notes below this program for sure. And you have to read Eve Engler's book, Canada and Israel, Building Apartheid. That book is 15 years old now, and it goes back into the 19th century with Canadian Christian Zionists and the Canadian role through successive generations to aid and abet in the building and administering of the apartheid state that is become now a genocidal state. Yeah. Hannah, you describe in your article, you say that this recognition is nothing more than Oslo 2.0. Could you perhaps expand on what you mean by that?
Yeah, basically, you know, in Oslo, which was signed and guaranteed by the Americans in 1993, promised a Palestinian state within 5 years, 1998, by 1998. And it was really a smoke screen to suppress the first intifada that started in 1987. And then that was the objective, because Israel was in dangers of really not just exposing itself in front of the world by attacking civil disobedience. The first intifada was basically civil disobedience. So they did the Oslo process to suppress the first intifada. And when Arafat realized that they tricked him and they lied to him, he started the second intifada 2 years later after the promised state for Palestine. So this is the Oslo process. And 33 years later, we are nowhere of having a Palestinian state. So it's all, you know, lies, and they're trying to serve their interest by, floating these balloons, which we don't believe anymore. I mean, Arafat shouldn't have signed to the Oslo process, because he had a bitter experience in 1982, when Israeli invasion of Lebanon, where Philip Habib, the American envoy to Lebanon, he promised the PLO then that the Israel won't enter Beirut, and he promised, it's written promise actually by Philip Habib, representing the U.S. government, that the safety of the Palestinian refugee. And after the PLO left Beirut, there was the massacre, the Sabra and Shatila massacre. Mm-hmm. That's over 4,000 people were massacred in cold blood under the direction of Sharon, the butcher of Sabra of Shatila. We're not going to fall again for Oslo too. That's what we meant, you know. Maybe the authority, which is the collaborationist authority, will fall for it, but the Palestinian people won't, because it's clear that what the Americans are doing is to serve Israeli interest and to protect it from itself. And, you know, the October 7th was clear indication that Israel is really an American base, nothing more, nothing less. Because without American support to Israel, military, diplomatic, political support, Israel would have been done in 1 week after October 7. But they came to the rescue, and they still are putting billions of dollars into rescuing Israel from itself and from its collapse. And the new initiative fits into that. I mean, we learned that the first intifada was civil disobedience, and it didn't work, you know. We learned as a liberation movement that the only thing these imperialists understand is armed struggle, and national liberation movement all over the world use the armed struggle to liberate themselves from the yoke of tyranny and the yoke of colonialism and settler colonialism. So this plan, you know, that this Trump plan is trying to achieve what Israel couldn't achieve in almost 2 years. In a few days, in a week, it's the anniversary of October 7th. So they're trying to achieve what militarily they couldn't achieve. And I'm not saying just Israel couldn't achieve it militarily. It's the U.S. that are involved directly in trying to suppress the armed struggle of the Palestinian people in Gaza and in the West Bank, in Palestine in general. So, how you want us to believe their good intention, if you saw them when they announced the plan with Netanyahu. Netanyahu, by the way, changed the plan, changed many items of the plan that Trump agreed on with the Arab and Muslim leaders, supposedly, and they are upset now, supposedly. I mean, these are fools, basically, and puppets for the Americans, these Arab and Muslim leaders that signed into this plan, because they know America is not going to keep its word, especially not Trump. He never kept his word, not to Qatar, not to to anybody, not to to Lebanon when they signed the end of hostilities in Lebanon. They didn't keep their word. I mean, that's as recent as a year ago. So also, Syria, it's clear that Israel, as Netanyahu clearly stated, he's looking forward to establishing Greater Israel, which means from the Euphrates to the Nile. That's a large area which includes Lebanon, Syria, parts of Saudi Arabia, and parts of Iraq. So, Trump is on this plan, and the U.S. is on this plan. Trump said Israel is a tiny country and should expand. He said it clearly. They are on it. And how you want us to believe any plan that they are trying to put forward and try to convince the Palestinian to agree to? I hope I answered your question.
Well, perfectly. And I wonder, personally, why if the Americans even understand the processes going on within Israel. When you mentioned the first Intifada, as I recall, it was Ariel Sharon marching into Al-Aqsa Mosque that was the spark for the first Intifada, the butcher, as you mentioned, of Beirut in Sabra and Shatila in 82. This agreement, this peace, so-called 20-point peace plan that the Trumpists have put forward, he says Trump does. That Hamas has 3 or 4 days at most to mm-hmm. sign off on this, or else is implied. I'm not exactly sure what they could do that would be worse, or they dare. But it's interesting that he has this timeline more than his usual braggadocio. The 3 or 4 days is coming up to the anniversary of October 7th, 2 years of this accelerated genocide, as I mentioned in the introduction. And it's also as the Freedom Flotilla approaches, it's very close right now to Israel. The world opinion has never been more sour towards Israel, and that I am putting conservatively, the United Nations, there is a motion finally for United for Peace being brought forward by the Colombian government and the president, Petro, that would see uninterested or disinterested armed forces protecting Gaza and perhaps the West Bank. I'm not sure if the West Bank has been included in this, but do you want to talk a bit more, Hanna, about the 20-point peace plan? It's Sam Husseini, the American journalist, famous to many for being pitched out of a White House press briefing. He quotes Islamic Jihad in saying, well, this isn't a peace process. This is a surrender terms and nothing more. What's your opinion on this so-called peace plan that, by the way, doesn't include any Palestinian input, whatever?
Or Palestinian state at that, because Netanyahu won't agree to it, and he clearly stated that. It is a document for surrender, basically. And as I said at the beginning, they're trying to achieve diplomatically what they couldn't achieve the last 2 years by force. I mean, the Palestinian people are resisting, and it's a miracle after 2 years of siege that they're still shooting back at the Israelis. I don't know where they're getting, I know where they're getting some of their ammunition by unexploded Israeli bombs, but it's a miracle. You are facing the biggest superpower on earth, and still they couldn't finish the job in two years. And not just the biggest superpower, but Canada's participated in sending special troops to Israel after October 7th to help them in intelligence and in locating the so-called hostages. Canada's participating by this special forces that they sent, and they didn't deny that they sent it, actually. It's laughable what they said. Yeah, we sent it to protect the Canadian embassy.
Yeah, but they have denied, the Canadian government, that they are continuing to send weaponry and components for weaponry to Israel, and that was proven to be entirely false.
Yeah.
Carney says, as per the 20-point peace plan, so-called, he says, quote, as a critical next step, he welcomes it, of course, as a critical next step, Hamas must immediately release all hostages. Mm-hmm. He doesn't talk about the many thousands of Palestinian men, women, and children being held in Israel's...
Over 10,000.
And in conditions that are absolutely horrible.
Most of them are not convicted. You know, they are, Israel doesn't put them to trial, nor tell them what they did wrong. You know, so it's administrative detention. If you heard of this is, you know, there is large number, thousands of Palestinians are under administrative detention. So yeah, you're right. But as I said before, Canada's role historically, since over 100 years ago when they adopted the Balfour Declaration, and all these are in our links that I put in the chat. It goes way back to when they adopted the Balfour Declaration at the Zionist Conference in Ottawa in 1922. Mackenzie King did that and addressed the Zionist Convention in Ottawa. So, I mean... they're not seeking our interest or our national interest or our human rights in Palestine. All they care about is the settler colonialist project that they implanted in the Middle East to protect their interest there. So, I mean, it's clear Canada and as I said, we talked about it extensively. You talked about Eve's Engler book. We talked about it since 2001, even before Eve's, and it's all on our website. I send you some of these links. I mean, Canada's support to the settler colonialist project is clear from the beginning, as I said, and it continues. The latest government, even they used to have shame in voting against pro-Palestinian resolution at the UN, but now they publicly are doing it. Most of the almost 20 resolution that comes yearly to the United Nations General Assembly, Canada either mostly vote against, sometimes a few the abstention, but the majority of these resolution Canada now votes against, and they tell you they want two states. I mean, they declared, which is a sham, you know, they declared that they support a Palestinian state. I mean, just read my experience with them. They refused to put my birthplace as Bethlehem, Palestine, and I have pamphlet about that. It's called Birthright Denied, 60 pages, basically correspondence between me and the Canadian officials that why they should put Palestine on my passport.
Well, to be fair to the current Canadian administration and parliament as a whole, almost entirely, they are standing up and applauding Nazis nowadays, too. So, I mean, that they would applaud this is not such a big surprise. The English journalist Andy Worthington describes the 20-point plan as, quote, insultingly colonial. He's talking about the temporary transitional governance of Gaza that is proposed under a so-called Board of Peace that who would be the president of but Donald Trump, and who would be its administrator, the new proconsul of Gaza, but Tony Blair and his Tony Blair Institute that is funded by the billionaire, the American billionaire and Israel's biggest supporter, Larry Ellison of Oracle.
Yeah, they're trying to repeat what they did in 1920, appoint a high commissioner for Palestine, like the British did in 1920. And, you know, we had a good experience with their high commissioner, which was a Zionist, with seven of his aides were also Zionist Jews. So clearly they wanted to implement this settler colonialist project in Palestine by using the Jews as a cannon fodder in the Middle East. And they're still using them as cannon fodder. So, you know, I mean, it's clear the new plan is clearly a new colonialist project. I mean, no doubt about it. And I mean, what their business into conducting the affairs of other nations is that the way the United Nations should work, that other countries should interfere and reshape nations. I mean, the Americans doing it all around the world, but, you know, it's clearly their time is coming, and that's why they are upset. And they feel Israel is in danger, not just diplomatically and politically, but its existence is in danger. October 7th shook the founding pillars of this Zionist project. And that's why the American, the British, the German, the Canadian are intervening to rescue this colonialist project that serves U.S. imperialism.
Well, the foundations are it's beyond Israel that those foundations of the whole Western project are starting to shake. Netanyahu, before the ink was dry on the so-called agreement, he left the White House and gave a talk or an address in Hebrew saying, in part, quote, there's no way the IDF is leaving Gaza. Samira, the Canadian journalist Samira Moeden, she says Canada last week recognized Palestine, and yesterday at the UN it asked the genocidaire to protect the people it's recognizing, as though the ironies couldn't get deeper. What are your opinions about the General Assembly, and we only got a couple of minutes left here, Hannah, the General Assembly and Colombia's petition for a uniting for peace motion or resolution at the United Nations to bring third parties into this?
Yeah. We've given up on the United Nations a long time ago, my friend Chris. I mean, we it's a tool of U.S. imperialism. It's always been. I mean, where this new motion, even if it passes, which it won't, you know, I mean, it won't be implemented, you know, but even if it passes, it won't be implemented, because we're not facing a fair General Assembly of nations. We are facing U.S. imperialism, and it's the beginning of its collapse as an imperialism all over the world. It won't be the only superpower anymore, and it's collapsing. October 7 was a hit more on U.S. imperialism rather than on its base, its aircraft carrier in the Middle East, as Chomsky stated.
Yeah, whether people recognize it or not, the whole world is shaking right now because of what happened on October 7th. 2023, and it's the Palestinian people that are bearing the brunt of it, but it is it will spread to everyone else. The article again is Yes, We Are Bitter. It's at cpavancouver.org, authored by Hannah Kawas and the people over there at the Canada Palestine Association. Thanks a lot for coming on the show today, Hannah, and telling us a little bit about a little bit more about that and the work you guys are doing.
Yeah, basically, we are a solidarity group. We've been as a Canada-Palestine Association, we've been working in solidarity with Palestine since 1980. It used to be another organization that changed its name to Canada-Palestine Association. It used to be called Canadian Arab Friendship Association. They decided at the general meeting to change the name, since it's doing support work for Palestine, to Canada-Palestine. But since then, we've been doing solidarity work. And, you know, our experience with politicians taught us that, you know, you can't really, it's not like they don't know the facts. They know the facts, but it's not in their interest to support the Palestinian people. So we see petitions to government and is a futile exercise. So we emphasize on the rank and file and educating the public. Also, we don't believe we used to write letters to the media, and some used to pass, but since ASPR took over the media in Canada, it was a censorship of any Palestinian voice. So clearly, what's happening with the media is very clear. I mean, the CBC guideline forbid the reporters from saying the word Palestine on their show. One did dare to say that, and he apologized the next day. You know, read our letter to the ombudsman, the CBC ombudsman.
Yes, Duncan McHugh, it was a rather tepid, just a mention.
Yeah, and he answered our complaint, which is ridiculous. He said the guide is still valid. You know that you can't. Well, although the apology wasn't necessary, he says. Yes. I mean, it's ridiculous. So now any reporters from CBC, or like 2 days ago, someone from the city TV wanted to interview me. I refused to have any interview with these people, because they are part of the conspiracy. They are part of the genocide against our people. When you keep silence, or you report only the Israeli side of the story, then you are complicit. And we refuse to talk with them because, they are complicit and they are the enemy, basically, whether they realize it or not. And we remember, as I said many times, we remember what they did to our cause. And we remember those who are complicit in our genocide. At the same time, we will remember also those who are supporting us on the streets of Canada, from Halifax to Victoria.
Yeah, well, the friendship has never been more needed, and the people are going to have to take matters into their own hands, it seems. Thanks again, Hannah, for coming on, and thanks, too, to Jeremy Kosmarov. And remember his book, Syria, Anatomy of Regime Change. Thanks again for coming on, Hannah?
Yeah, thank you, and... I feel optimistic. The future is ours. Thanks.
That's hope. That's all I got for this week. Until the next time. Tell but you, making money while you are not doing anything other than chatting with bots. What we see now in real time is a whole new level. Corporate crime, something the world has never seen. The rumor mill and the propaganda machine, together like never seen before. What in the world might be in store? Civilization has been challenged from the start. Escape the narrative. Guerrilla Radio.